Today's Tanya for the 8th of Shvat is in Perek Chof Aleph, Chapter 21. It's on Daf Chof Zayin Omud Aleph. The number at the bottom of the page is 90. We are at the second line from the top. The Alter Rebbe is explaining how the whole world is non-existent before God, and that's why even after the world is created, God is alone, just as he was before creation, because of the insignificance of the world's existence. How is the world insignificant? Firstly, the word of God with which the world is created is totally insignificant and therefore non-existent relative to the emotions and the intellect with which God created the world. In other words, to the divine attributes. In addition to this, the word of God, even after it is expressed, even after it is actualized, does not leave the presence of God, does not leave him at all. Unlike in human speech, where once a person says something, the word is out, has left him, is no longer part of him, is no longer within him. With God's speech, the word never leaves God because God is everywhere, and so the speech is always contained within its source, connected to its source. And therefore, even after the word comes into existence, even after the word is actualized and expressed, it remains completely united with its source, and for that reason too is completely bottle and non-existent at all. Top of the page. Kochamamish derech moshul, just as in the human being, when the word and the thought have not yet been expressed, as the Rebbe said earlier, they're still in the heart, in the feeling of the heart, and they're still in the understanding of the mind. They haven't become words yet. There they are completely united with their source. The same is true. Miyuchodes diburei umachshavtei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the oneness that exists in God's word and God's thought, where betachlis hayichud, with a total oneness, the speech and God's thought are united. Even after God's word had already been actualized, already been expressed, and it already was effective, the Briyas HaElamos, it already created all the worlds, yet the word remains, God's word remains completely united with its original essence. Just as it was united and one with God before the world was created, before the word was expressed, the same is true after creation, and no change has taken place. There is no change at all from before to after relative to God. Elo, what then does the expression and the actualization of the word, what does it accomplish? El habruyim hamekablim chayusam mebechinas diburei yizbarech, to the creatures, the creation, which receives its life from God's word. And how does it receive its life? When the word leaves God and becomes actual. Leaving God meaning that it is actualized, that it is expressed. Without the expression, when the word is not spoken, then there can be no world. So the world is created, firstly, by the word being expressed and actualized. Only, as we said before, with God, or relative to God, even after it's actualized, nothing has changed at all. But in the case of the creation, when the word is spoken, when God actualizes his ability to create, shemislabish bahem lahachayesam al yedei yishtaushalus me'ilo lo'olo v'yididas hamadvegeis, how does the word of God, even after it is expressed, how does it give life to the created beings? It clothes itself in them through a chain of descents in a manner of ilav olu, a gradual, link by link, descent through the many levels of existence, bitzimtzumim rabim v'sheinim, with many and varied kinds of contractions, tzimtzumim ad, until it has become so changed and so diminished, sheyuchlu habruyim lekabu chayusam v'savusam imenu, that the created being is able to receive its life and its existence from the word of God, v'leyiz batlu b'metzius, without being overwhelmed and undone by the godliness. Chol ha-tzimtzumim, what do these tzimtzumim represent? Heim b'chinas hester ponim. What does the tzimtzum accomplish? The tzimtzum means a hiding of the face, a concealment of the face. Lahastir ulahalim ha'ir v'hachayus, in order to hide and to conceal the light and the life, hanimshach midiburei yisbarich, that is expressed and that comes from the word of God. That it shouldn't be totally revealed, it shouldn't be much revealed, because then the lower beings, the lower creations, would be unable to receive that kind of gilui without being overwhelmed. Now the emphasis here is that what it is that is concealed is the light and the life that is in fact given and comes down, nimshach midibura yizbarich. It's not like tzimtzum implying that God is not giving, that in order to not overwhelm the lower being, the lower creation, so God doesn't give of himself, holds back. And therefore, godliness would be, as a result of the tzimtzum, absent to some degree, or in some way, absent from creation or from the lower levels of creation. And that would, God forbid, constitute a literal tzimtzum. What the Rebbe is saying here, very briefly, is that there is nothing withheld. There is no part of God that isn't present, that isn't actual, that isn't functional, that isn't revealed in the world from God's perspective. It's not, the reason we don't see godliness is not because godliness is absent, not because godliness is withheld, not because any part of godliness is withheld. Everything is given, everything is available, everything is present, and yet the tzimtzum is such that the created being does not recognize that which he has, that which is given to him, not withheld at all. So the word of God gives life and existence to the created being, and yet the created being does not sense and does not recognize where this life is coming from, or that it's coming at all. He could even come to believe that the light and the life that gives him existence and that gives him life is his own. That's the concealment. But the fact is that this life that he has and this existence that he has is an obvious, expressed revelation of God, act of God. So that God is not holding back. It's not that tzimtzum means that God is present only on some level, but not on another level. God is present. He is present essentially. He is here, but he doesn't reveal himself. That's not so. God reveals himself also. There's no greater revelation than the Word of God giving life to a stone, giving existence to the stone, giving life to animals. And yet, even as God reveals himself and is functional and effective in the world, the created being receiving all of this revelation doesn't know that he's getting it and doesn't know where he's getting it from. And therefore, Lochin gamke nidmalohem evechayis hadibur shomokim baruchu. Therefore, it also appears to the created being that this light and this life, which is the Word of God, hamilubish bohem, which is clothed within them, ki ilu hu davar muvdul mimuhusei v'atzmusei izbarech, it could appear to them, to the created being, that this Word of God that gives them life is separated from God himself. But that it is more like the speech of a human being, which when he says the words, when he has spoken them, they have left from within him and are no longer part of him. And so the created being can mistakenly come to the conclusion that this Word of God that gives him life is no longer a part of God, because now it has become part of creation. So it's only because of the tzimtzum, only because of the concealment, where the created being cannot see clearly his creator. And again, not because the creator is withholding, not because the creator is not revealing himself, but because this revelation of the creator is concealed from the created being, from his perspective, and therefore God can give, and give openly, and yet the creature doesn't know it, doesn't see it. As a result, the creature comes to the conclusion that the Word of God, once spoken, is like the Word of man that has left and is no longer connected. But from God's perspective, ein shum tzimtzum vehester vehelim mastir umaylam lefanov ukechashecho ka'edam. What is this concealment in God, from God's perspective, this tzimtzum and this helim vehester? From God's perspective, the tzimtzum doesn't exist at all, and there is no concealment at all. As it says, darkness does not darken for you, for God. In other words, for God, even the tzimtzum doesn't create any darkness, doesn't conceal anything at all. Like the teacher who gives an example in order to simplify a concept for his students, the student could mistakenly think that the story has nothing to do with the concept that the teacher is trying to teach. He doesn't see any connection. The story, or the mashal that the teacher gives, conceals the concept, conceals the idea so well, for the student that is, that the student doesn't see the connection between the story and the idea. However, to say that the story, or the mashal, in any way diminishes the teacher's view of the subject, that would be impossible. The teacher made the mashal. The teacher chose the parable or the fable in order to bring out the idea. So for the teacher, when he looks at the example, at the mashal, when he looks at the parable, he sees the concept. It doesn't conceal anything from him. It is only for the student who didn't make up the story and doesn't know the concept, to the student, that the two can be completely separate things. Shum she'ein ha-tzimtzumim v'halavushim dover nifrad mimenu yizbari chas v'shalom. Since the tzimtzum and the garments which hide and conceal God's presence are not something separate from God. God forbid, Eloka ha-dein kamtso, but rather it's like the snail or the turtle, delevushe mineyube, whose garment is part of him. He hides in his garment, in his shell, but the shell is him, and therefore he's not hidden at all. Kameshakosuv ki Hashem hu Elikim, and as it says, for God is Elikim. Hashem is Elikim. Hashem is the level of God before Tzimtzum. Elikim is the godliness after Tzimtzum. And although to us it might appear as if the two were separate and different, we are told Hashem hu Elikim, that there is no difference, and one is equal to the other. U'kameshikosu mokim achar, as explained elsewhere. And the result of all of this is the lochein is kamei kula kilo choshiv mamash. That's why, for God, all of existence is non-existent at all. In the Hayem Yom for the 8th of Shvat, the Rebbe writes that in these days, more than ever, when by God's kindness we stand at the threshold of the coming of Mashiach, we have to make every effort to strengthen every aspect and every facet of Yiddishkeit. And it should be done beyond the letter of the law. Every minhag must be kept scrupulously. Nothing should be compromised. It is a mitzvah and a duty of every rabbi to inform his congregation that the present tribulations and agonies, which was the Second World War, they are the birth pangs of Mashiach. God is demanding that we return to Torah and mitzvahs so that we not hinder the immediate coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu.